News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. I'm very excited to have in-house in the studio with me Julie Nice, a relationship coach and extraordinarily knowledgeable about relationships. And we're about 5 days out from Valentine's Day. Woo-hoo! So I think your timing is right, really spot on.
I love it. I think there's some people out there that need some help.
I think so. I mean, it's so in your face, and you can't go anywhere that there aren't Valentine's displays and
That's
chocolates
right.
and buy your flowers now. And on Facebook, every ad is a Valentine's ad. I mean, it's a little intimidating.
It gets, like all the holidays, it just gets a little out of control.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah,
there's a lot of pressure. So talk a bit, Julie, about what you do. You were on the show last year, and it was such a pleasure. And I want, in case someone has not met you before, how did you get into coaching people and what you do in terms of relationships?
Sure. Well, that's kind of a long story, but the long and short of it is I've always wanted to help people in their relationships and to get clarity on things they maybe never learned or didn't see when they were growing up so they could have a really lovely time being mm-hmm. married or in a couple of some kind. So it evolved into relationship training, which is a deviation from the therapy I was trained to do. Therapy focuses mainly on your childhood and your past and, you know, crap you didn't like about
traumas
it.
Traumas and all
yeah,
that.
Whatever. But successful people, regardless of what they're successful in, are always successful because they put their awareness on what's next, not what used to be.
Yes.
So the past is there to learn from it, certainly. You should heal from it or repair it if necessary. But show up in your life ready to have a blast, you know. You only get so many laps around the sun, you might as well make them good.
Absolutely. We're here to live and be happy and have joy and love and
yep.
all the
well,
good
you should.
Stuff.
You should.
All the good stuff.
So what I do is I basically train. I'm a relationship trainer. I train people how to reestablish romance mm-hmm. and connection, get over hurts, build back trust.
That's a big one.
Stop arguing.
Stop arguing.
And essentially communicate better
mm-hmm.
and learn a lot more about the other sex. It's shocking to me how much people don't know about the other sex. It's kind of funny. But it's fun to teach, so we have a blast. I only take people that are very serious-minded and sincere
mm-hmm.
about making those changes and learning, you know, what they need to
well,
learn.
Clearly, from what I've read about you in our other conversations, it's not a Band-Aid.
No, it's not.
This
so
is something
if you
that's
just
going to require
run and,
some.
Run and do a couple of things, you know, a couple of sessions. I'm not your girl.
No,
this is, I only take clients that are very, as I said, sincere and want to spend the time, money, and effort, mostly effort,
mm-hmm.
to make changes and get better. And to do that, I require that everybody come in for a free 30 to 45 minute screening.
Okay. So if there's someone that's listening right now and maybe they're struggling with the relationship that they're in, or maybe they're not even in one and that might be the issue, how would they get in touch with you? And you're saying they could actually have a free initial consultation.
Well, it's more than a consultation because it's actually a screening. I'm assuming they're there to screen me to make sure my approach works for them and they feel like they're in the right place
mm-hmm.
and they feel like they can get what they came for. Those are all very important things.
Right.
And I get to screen them to see if they in fact are serious and how well this is important, how well they take new information, how fast they could change their perspective,
mm-hmm.
and whether or not they're open to learning and changing. They have to change in order to be in my program. I mean,
so it doesn't help for them to debate with you and
you. No, that doesn't last them. No, this is not a debate. It's training.
Okay. Well, if you've got a question for Julie, please text it in this morning at 850-437-1620. With Valentine's right around the corner, obviously, it's on folks' minds, of course.
Yeah.
So I was telling her there's a couple of different categories that I think of right off the bat. There are those that are in love. It's all new. It's the first Valentine's, and it's just so exciting and fun, and you just have a blast. Then there's the relationships that you've been in 20 years, 30 years.
That would be me.
How do you keep the spark going? And then there's the other category of those, the lonely hearts, those that aren't in a relationship, and how you manage getting through this holiday. So where do you want to start?
Let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the beginning with the people in the infatuation phase.
Yeah. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. That's the fun part. Well, look, I had you, for people who don't know, she asked me what music I wanted to play on the intro.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked the Everything I Do For You.
I love Bryan Adams.
It's a great song, really cool. And I think it is a great theme
mm-hmm.
because regardless of the three categories, my answer is pretty much going to be similar in that, it's all about what you do with the other person.
Mm.
Loving someone is not about how you feel. It is about how you make the other person feel.
Oh, say that again.
Sure, because it's very important. Pay close attention.
Pay close attention, y'all.
Loving someone is not about how you feel. Loving somebody is actually determined best and shown best by how you make the other person feel. Mm-hmm. Loved, cared for, safe, happy, etc. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a relationship, most people are in a relationship in a very self-centered sort of way, hence the problems. So if you want to get really good at this, you would absolutely make sure you know really well what the other person needs and wants and fulfill that to the very best of your ability. Now, if only one person is doing that, you have a big problem.
Mm, of course.
Both people ideally would be doing it, of course.
And meeting in the middle somewhere?
Well, no, going or all in.
Going all going in.
All
okay.
In. So do I care about how you feel? Not really. Do I care about how you behave toward the other person? Yes, a whole lot.
Okay.
That's how that goes.
Okay, well, our first question that just came in this morning from one of our listeners, what age is typical for men or women that come to see you for the first time?
Oh, gosh. I would say probably 30s and above, all the way to 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get a whole lot of 20-year-olds because they think they know everything so far, or they haven't gotten, you know, kicked around
right
enough
fish.
Yet. They haven't got kicked out of enough beds for eating crackers. So, yeah, but I mean, certainly some. I definitely have some in this, but mainly it's 30 and above.
Okay,
I would say.
So really any age.
Oh, but come on, don't you have a more important question than that? It's like
I would
with your relationship?
So. I would think so. I know.
Come on, give me a good one.
I know. So, as a relationship coach, I keep saying coach, trainer, when we're in 2026, and you think about how what we think of relationships has changed over the decades, over the years. Are you seeing
Yes,
any,
and not for the better necessarily.
I was going to say, are you seeing any sort of trends now that we have phones and social media and all these things that kind of get in the way, wouldn't they?
Well, I think one of the most damaging trends, seriously, over the past couple decades, is definitely this whole cell phone and social media nonsense. Mm-hmm. Social media is so damaging. I mean, across the board in relationships and for children especially.
Mm.
And I can't tell you how many people come in to my office complaining, but he's always on his cell phone or she never puts this,
mm-hmm.
gets out of Facebook.
That's what I was wondering.
All
yeah.
the time. And, you know, you can't, you know, I don't know how people do that. Honestly, how do you find the time in the day if you have a house to run, kids to raise, job to do, a partner to be with? How do you find hours of a day to be on Facebook? I just don't get it. So if you're spending hours in a day doing that, you're not putting your time where it really needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to show up in, you know,
in
divorces
in the relationship.
Yeah.
So if we go back to, we talked about a little bit about the ones that are already in love. We kind of know where they're at. So what about those that are Valentine's Day? Kind of puts a lot of pressure on you.
Well, I don't like the whole idea of pressure around holidays, just personally.
Mm-hmm.
So the only time you really have pressure is if you think there's some performance standard you're not going to be measuring up to, like, well, everybody else does X or everybody else does Y.
Well, that brings up my least favorite word, expectations.
Yes. So I think expectations should be adjusted for your situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally, I actually got engaged on Valentine's Day. So
that's very romantic.
I know that's, you know, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people make a big deal out of it. And if you'd like to do that, I think that's wonderful. But you certainly don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly okay to spend Valentine's Day just hunkered down with a good bowl of soup, you know,
right,
on the couch
quiet.
In front of the fire or whatever. I mean, that's a lovely time, too. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be, you know, love and bubbles and unicorns and
right roses everywhere and all right. that good stuff.
Right.
But there's a lot of pressure to do that.
Only if your expectations are that you have to match what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you match what works in your life, then that's an easy expectation to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend people do that, seriously. Have a little chat with your significant other.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to spend the day? What would you like to do that's special? And make it about that, not what some greeting card company thinks you ought
right.
to do or some Facebook post thinks
or
you ought to do.
Commercial.
Or commercial.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, then the next level would be, so you're in a relationship and the spark, I mean, you love each other and everything, but the spark's a little flat.
Well,
well, how about those?
Romance and sexual attraction has to be maintained. You it It is not something, in other words, you don't just fall in love with somebody, be all infatuated, excuse me, like in the beginning, and then expect that to go on and on forever and ever. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So like anything else, it has to be nurtured. And really, that part of your relationship is supposed to be the sacred part. Mm. It's the part you don't do with everybody else, anybody else. It's unique to the two of you. And if you don't protect that and nurture it and make it thrive, you're missing the boat because it isn't going to happen just by itself.
So what are some of the most common communication mistakes that you see that couples make?
Oh, biggest one really has to be that people let their negative feelings dictate their behavior.
Okay, explain that.
Oh, gosh. Just recently.
Explain that, please. I'm taking notes.
Oh, sure. Okay. Sharpen that pencil. So frequently, I'll say, I have people come in, and I must say it's mostly women who do this. Oh, the men can do it as well. They will come in, and so I'll say something like, okay, well, if you want to fix this or change this, you do this, this, and this. Well, I can't do that. Okay, why not? Well, I just haven't gotten over what he did to me last time, and I'm still resentful. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Are we in an adult conversation here, or are you 12? Okay, I get that you're resentful, but right now, because you're withholding affection, you're not talking, you're not communicating, you're being a, can I say it on the air? Bitch, okay. I just wanted to make sure FCC isn't going to kill me.
If not, we're going to find out.
No, we'll find out. And then you expect him to be nice and do whatever you want. That's not how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you let your resentment, anger, hurt feelings dictate your behavior with your partner, that will almost always be a train wreck.
Right.
Okay? So in adults put their feelings aside and take action on their outcome. So if your outcome is, I'd like a happy, safe, connected, romantic, lovely, fun relationship, mm-hmm. then you can't let, so you have to resolve those feelings, obviously. We don't shove them under the carpet. But they're not resolving them. They're just sitting in them and getting worse,
mm-hmm.
which means that often people are in what I call an emotional blackmail.
Ooh, that
okay?
sounds...
So I won't be nice to you until, that's transactional. I'm not mm-hmm. going to be nice to you unless you do X, Y, and Z.
Ooh, that happens a lot, doesn't
oh,
it?
Oh, gosh, all the time. The first thing women want to do is pull sex and physical affection off the table.
Mm.
First thing. So for most men, that's like stepping on their air hose. You know, they need that connection actually more than most women mm-hmm. do. And so it's very damaging.
It makes me think of things because connection is different for men and women, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely.
And so can you talk a bit about that?
Sure.
Because you've touched on it now. I mean, a woman has this expectation and a man may need this or
well,
vice versa.
So unfortunately, most men are stuck in a pattern, let's say, of wanting to make the girl happy so very much. That's their motivation, to make her happy
mm-hmm.
at all cost. They will turn themselves into a human pretzel to do that. And also because they're so even energetically connected to that idea, what ends up happening is their self-esteem will rise or fall depending on whether the girl is approving or not approving
mm.
or nice to him or not nice to him.
Mm-hmm.
So men end up being like a lap dog.
Interesting. Yeah.
Which is not good for either one of them because the minute that he's needy,
mm-hmm.
she will be uninterested and not attractive.
Right. Right.
So female attraction strategy works based on whether or not the guy is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the FCC calling?
It could be. No, I don't know how to turn that one off. So hopefully, sorry about that. So I'm talking this morning on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, with Julie Nice, and she is a relationship trainer. So when you're working with couples, what was some of their process? Do you have them come in separately or together? Do you do both?
They can do both. Initially, up front, together, of course, because mm-hmm. if I only have one person, I only have 50% of the information.
The story.
But often there are things that we can talk about separately, you know, that, mm-hmm. that contribute to the overall that works out.
And how does your approach differ from, say, traditional therapy? Because there's probably folks that have been in therapy before and they sort of roll their eyes and I don't know if it's going to help me. But why?
Okay.
Why would you be able to break through some of those prejudices, I guess, or resistance?
Well, I'd like to say because I understand how human change works.
Ah.
But see, change isn't necessarily the outcome of traditional therapy. The mm-hmm. traditional therapy, their outcome is to understand, quote unquote.
Right.
That's it. So my position is, you know, I've seen almost 9,000 people. Okay. I've done this for a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
Most people know very well. They are aware mostly of what the problem. They don't need to understand it more. Mm-hmm. They need to fix it
or
get rid of it.
Break out of the pattern.
Or resolve it and break out of the whatever pattern that might have caused it.
Because don't couples get into roles, like you said,
patterns,
that
passive-aggressive
in the patterns?
People have all kinds of patterns. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of whether they're useful or not useful.
Right, yeah. So it must be fascinating because when you say you've seen over 9,000 people, I know, and you should know too that Julia has been on Dr. Phil. She's been on the other radio programs.
And this show. And, and this one.
Yay. But just truly an expert. And so I'm so, I feel privileged to have you on the show this morning. So thank you for being here because I know how busy you are. But I was hoping that you can, again, in talking about relationships with the pressure of Valentine's Day, what can people do? What is the first step if your relationship is hurting, for lack of a better word?
If it's hurting and you've exhausted everything you know, you need to go get more feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Because the definition of crazy is you keep doing the same thing and expect
right.
something different to happen. So, look, a lot of people did not see a good relationship growing up. A lot of people didn't learn it along the way, you know, mm-hmm. especially people who got married very young. I've got people in my office who literally have zero experience dating. Except for the person they're married to.
Because they got married so young.
So that means they know that person pretty well, but they don't understand the opposite sex representing that person at all.
Right.
Because they never had any experience in their real life, in their adult life. So, that's important to go get feedback. You know, there's plenty of books you can read, podcasts you can listen to, marriage retreats you can go to, relationships trainers you could go see, you know, however it is. But you should go find out what you don't know.
Well, I think it's one thing reading a book. I think it's another thing to have someone like you kind of catch you on your stuff. It's the best way to.
Sure.
Because we have things that we say, well, I'm this is just the way I am.
Hate that saying. That's
just the way I am.
That'll get me.
Learn to live with it.
That'll get me jumping in your poop real fast. Yeah, so a lot of people say that, actually. Well, this is how I was raised. Mm-hmm. Or this is just who I am.
Right.
So I always reference one of my favorite movie references, where Hitch, did you see that movie?
Ages ago.
A cute movie. It's a great movie. So Will Smith is working with this complete dork who is in love with a supermodel way above his pay grade. And he's teaching him how not to be a dork so he can, you know, win this girl.
Right. Okay.
And, of course, he dresses like a dork. So he takes them into a nice clothing store. He gets them all new duds.
Mm-hmm.
They come out. They're standing on the sidewalk in front. And Kevin James, who plays the guy, looks down at his shoes and he goes, these shoes, I don't know if they're me.
Oh.
And Will Smith is quite exasperated at this point. And he looks over at him and he goes, you? It's a very fluid concept right now. And I think that's how we have to look at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
How we are not who we aspire to be. We are who we practice being.
Oh, I love that.
So who you were a week ago or 10 years ago is not who you are tomorrow or a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
You are who you practice being. And that's always going to be changing. So nothing is the same. So I don't really care how you were raised. That's not relevant. What's relevant is how do you want to be?
Mm-hmm. And then are you able to give people the tools to now look at those things and be an observer objectively, not critically, but objectively, so that then they can have those tools to make the changes?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because that's the hard part. I might even know, I know, I kind of know what my things are.
Sure.
But I'm not so sure. There's a reason I have those. Does that make sense?
There's always a reason.
I mean, because of past experience and you have these things and then you hold on to them, these tools that really aren't working for you anymore, but you're still holding on to them.
Sure. Absolutely.
So how do you take your clients through to make those changes?
Well, first of all, you have to want to. That's the most important thing.
Willingness.
And then I think everybody needs to understand that whatever patterns, because you're just describing patterns, all those things you're talking about, they're not in your DNA. They're not part of your personality. They're just patterns. So we have to look at, are they useful for what you want to have or do or be in your life, or are they not? And if they are, you're welcome to keep them.
Right.
Go ahead. Knock yourself out. But if they're not useful or they're in your way in some way, then we need to get rid of them. But I think it's also good to start from the position that everything we see as the way we used to be, or maybe the mistake I made or whatever, or the pattern I was in responding to life, those were, as you said, all there for a very good reason. And the thing is, you need to appreciate what that reason might have been. Like, thank your unconscious mind now for giving you that pattern or giving you that experience, because it was a learning of some kind that you needed to have.
Right.
You may not need that learning now, mm-hmm. so it would be okay to loosen it up or maybe change it or get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was there for a reason. So, you know, acknowledge the reason and be kind to yourself and go with the idea that it's okay that happened and it maybe wouldn't be something you want to keep going forward, and that's okay too.
Okay.
You can evolve.
Okay, here's a tough question. Just came in from one of our
listeners.
Boy, Are you ready? And it's kind of one of those I'm asking for a friend.
That's okay.
I get a lot of those. The question is, can a marriage survive infidelity?
Absolutely.
And that's a
Here's the really good
that's
reason.
That's a great question.
Yeah, a great question, and it's a fabulous answer. I, of course, hate when people have to go through something as traumatic and difficult and painful as an infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
However, for the couples who stand their ground and do the work to get to fix whatever was broken in the first place and move past that into something better, have often, experienced a much better relationship than they had to start with. You have to understand, an infidelity is never, ever the problem.
Mm.
It is a symptom of the problem.
Interesting.
Okay? So if you can get to the problem and sort it out, again, both people have to want to do it. You can't mm-hmm. hit anybody over the head. But if people genuinely use that as a wake-up call going, holy crap, look, what this is terrible. It just happened. That's not what we wanted. And how did that get so off track?
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a chance to reset and to relook at with fresh eyes where you're going, where you've been, and what's happening. So it's actually... I hate that people have to go through it, but
mm-hmm.
I kind of secretly clap my hands and go, oh, goody, goody, because now we can really do some
good 'cause it might be the symptom that has come up that now requires to take a look at this. Let's get really honest with each other, because it's really not about the relationship.
And here's the other thing. Well, it is about the relationship, but it's not about the infidelity.
That's what I mean.
So the other thing is it gives people the opportunity to look a little bit broader in their view of things,
mm-hmm.
and kind of forces the issue on learning what they didn't know to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So I most of the time it works out well.
Okay, we got another question, and this is a good one. What do you recommend on how to move on when you've tried everything to keep the relationship going, and it's now, I guess, time to go?
I squint my eyes just a little bit when I hear that, because before people make a decision to leave something as serious as a marriage or mm-hmm. a long-term relationship,
right,
I would certainly hope that you have exhausted not only what you know, but what other people know too.
Mm.
Because people are changing relationships and marriages like socks these days.
Right.
And just because you don't know how to make it better or how to fix what's going on doesn't mean other people don't.
Well,
of course, this is my bias. I mean, that's obviously what I do for a living. But really, you can't. It's just so damaging. Most people who end up in divorce court should not be there, because divorce is not going to fix their problem.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, if you exit a relationship because you're ticked off, you're hurt feelings, you're whatever it is you are, you're not changing any of the things that got you in that situation. So all of the perspectives, the beliefs, the mm-hmm. attitudes, the understandings, all of those stay the same. Divorce isn't going to fix that. And here's the bad news. So you can go ahead and have your divorce, and then you get into another relationship. Well, guess what? You're going to bring those same perspectives and values and behaviors along with you into the next
mm-hmm.
one. And that's why second marriages fail at a higher rate than first ones.
Oh, boy. I can't believe it. We're out of time already.
Jeez, that went fast.
So we didn't get to all your questions. I'm so sorry, because the line just got very hot. Lots of questions. How can people reach you? And you do have a free screening if someone would like to come in and talk to you.
Yes, it's a required free screening, actually.
Yes.
And you can book that by just jumping on the website at BaysideMarriageCounseling.com.